You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage. In this segment, I'm going to give you my overview of what all three guests had to say and what I took away from it, so maybe you can relate to it at home. First, we had returning commissioner from the CFTC, Christian Carlo. It was fascinating to hear what he had to say because he's on the inside when it comes to understanding the rulemaking process and rule implementation process for regulations on financial futures markets. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you think, hey, this is a little far afield. It's not for you at home because you look to these agencies that are putting regulations on any industry, really, and you want to keep track of what they're doing because if they make it more difficult for people to go about their business and do their business and make sure they stay in business, then it's going to affect you, the consumer at home. And this is a group, the CFTC, that makes rules and regulations for people who are trying to, you know, reduce their risks for their businesses in agriculture, which is like milk and corn and all the stuff that we eat. So we really want to pay attention to this. This is important. So it's great to have Chris on. What he had to say was his focus is going to be in 2015 is making sure that whatever rules they got to find out what's working and what's not, and make sure that they focus on getting it right. So I think that's a great place for the CFTC to go to because they've just gone through this massive round of making rules. Now they're implementing them, and now they have to see what they're doing with it. Now, Chris said that under Dodd-Frank, that big financial regulatory law that came into place, they've kind of had an ad hoc nature of making these rule writings. In other words, he said that they didn't do cost-benefit analysis. They really went in and right away said, oh, this is what we need to do to make the system safe, and we're really not going to do an analysis per se of what this is going to cost end users or the industry or so on. We just want to make sure everything's safe and working. And that sounds great initially, and that, you know, to some extent, that's, you know, in the middle of a crisis, that's kind of what you want to do. But afterwards, you want to go back and make sure that it's not too onerous, that it doesn't cost too much money, and it's not going to hit consumers in the pocketbook, which I'm pretty sure it's going to. So that's good news to hear from Chris. That's going to be the Republican Congress. They're going to take a look at these things and make sure that they're functioning in the proper way. So a little bit more thoughtful analysis of what these rules and regulations are going to be. Now, switching gears, Grover Norquist. Boy, what a great guy to have on to talk about the mess that is the U.S. tax system. I want to just kind of hit what he had to say of what he's looking for and when he advises people like Paul Ryan and Orrin Hatch. And he has their ears, ladies and gentlemen. He's a big mover and shaker in Washington, D.C. And the reason is because of what they want to accomplish, which is, look, Congress, politicians, don't throw any more new taxes on us. Let's take the ones that we have right now and let's have these things make sense and make sense with the goal of creating growth. That's what you want. That's what you want out of government. You want people to make thoughtful decisions and you want to impose a methodology by which Congress and where they're doling out this money uses the money in a thoughtful manner, uses the money in not a wasteful manner so that they just don't constantly come back to us, the taxpayers, and say we want more money to pay more things. Our view as taxpayers should be make it more efficient, show us that what you're spending money on actually is working and doing what you told us it was going to do. That's something that is really sharply in focus with every taxpayer's mind, considering what's happening with Obamacare, right? That's the key thing. We want to make sure that we get things done from a social standpoint that we want, but we want it done so that it actually works. I don't know the long-winded way of saying that, but hey, the tax code's a great place to start and fix. So what he was saying as far as the kind of the golden triangle of what he wants for tax reform is to get rates down to 20% to 25%. This is on the business tax side, corporate tax, and the flow through like LLCs and S corps and such. So they want to get the rate down as far as we can. 20 to 25% is his target. This is Grover's target. He also wants in tax reform to get full expensing, meaning, hey, look, I hire an employee, right? That costs money, and I get to write all of that off as an expense, right? Rightfully so, because I'm hiring people. We want to encourage businesses to do that. That makes sense. We also want businesses to expand, right? That's something else that we want. We want them to make sure that they keep growing. And how do you do that? Give them the same structure that we have for hiring an employee to making a capital expense, like building a plant where you're going to have more employees. Gosh, that would make sense. And fully expensing, meaning when you incur the cost, you get to write it off against your revenues. That makes a lot of sense. So that's what's great about Grover. Lastly, getting rid of the extraterritorial nature of the tax code, ladies and gentlemen, that sounds like something like extraterrestrial. Well, to some extent it is. It's our ridiculous way of saying and sticking our chest out as the IRS and saying, you know, we need to tax you. Whatever you're doing overseas, we're going to tax that. That just doesn't make any sense. No other country does this, right? And so what we end up doing by saying that is we say to these companies like Big Tech, Apple, and Big Pharma, take your pick. Whatever you're doing overseas, if you create any profits over there, if you ever think about bringing them back home, we're going to tax that in 35% on top of your corporate tax. So it's like, what? That makes no sense. So what we want these guys to do is bring that money back home, do whatever they want to do with it, because we want them to bring that money back and build plants, hire new employees, or pay out as a dividend, or reduce their, you know, their debt, because that makes them a better company. There's all sorts of positive things we can do to allow these companies to have access to their own money so that they do really good things. That's what we want. That's part of the tax code that we need to change. So again, rates as low as possible, 20 to 25%, full expensing for businesses because that helps them create jobs, and it makes sense, right? And getting rid of the extraterritorial nature of the tax code. That's my big takeaway from what Grover had to say, and he's a super smart guy. We'll get him back on again. There's a lot of things going on. We did talk about the Cromnibus spending bill, and we did talk about tax extenders. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later, but those three things I want everybody to keep in mind as we move into 2015 with Paul Ryan and Orrin Hatch leading the way on tax reform. And finally, my good friend Larry Kudlow, always great to get Larry on. He brings such sensibility to looking at the markets. My favorite thing to ask people, if you probably don't know, is what they're going to focus on in the future, because it should help you at home understand what you should look for in the future. And really, it's my kind of cheat sheet for doing the same thing. So I always like to think I'm a relatively bright guy, but boy, when I bring smart people on like Larry Kudlow, I get a lot smarter, and it helps me understand what I should be looking for in the future. That said, what did Larry say? He's going to focus in 2015 on corporate profits. That makes a lot of sense because that's the mother's milk of investing. In other words, if corporate profits continue to expand or go higher, that's really good for the stock market. That generally means a higher stock market overall, even with the Fed raising interest rates or making the cost of business go higher with that, even with that uncertainty. If companies are more profitable, then you can overcome those things. Also, Larry's going to be looking at the break-even tips for signs of inflation, and rightfully so. As you know, other guests that have come on Engage have talked about the increase in wages that is coming in 2015. For most workers, we expect average hourly earnings to start to go up because of the demand for these workers. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it will encourage the Fed to raise interest rates and maybe a little bit more aggressively to deal with higher inflation. And of course, Larry, his third point is going to be looking at tax reform overall to see if we can do something positive there that will help the economy. All right, that was quite a show this week, and I'm really stoked we had those guests on. Next week, We are going to do an entire show on nonprofits to show what is happening in this space. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the third largest employer in the United States. We need to know what is happening here. And also, we're going to bring you three groups that you can make donations to at this time of the year. It's really critical for these entities to get funding from whatever means they can, and it usually comes from guys like you and me. So keep that in mind. All right. Thank you for listening this week. I'm Andy Bush. You've been listening to Newgauge. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be back again next Friday at noon in the West, 3 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll have more insights and discussions then.